אנו מבקשים מהציבור להיכנס, אנו רוצים להמשיך בתוכנית. כל אחד מוזמן להיכנס, למצוא מקום, אנו רוצים להמשיך. אנו מבקשים מכל אחד למצוא את מקומו, אנו מוכנים להתחיל.
רבותיי, אבקש שכל אחד יתפוס את מקומו בבקשה, The next shiur will be given by a person who is a mechanech par excellence. There are people who learn in various yeshivot, and if you ask them where they learn, some will say, I learned in Meir. Some will say, I learned in Or Etzion. Others may say, I learned in Nativ Meir. They remember the yeshiva in which they learned. There are thousands of people out there in the world who, if asked, would say, I learned in Bravender's. The Lav Milta Zutra Sehi. Harav Chaim Bravender developed a style of learning which met and still meets a very, very real need. He was able to, in the past and still, is able to influence many in a derech halimud. There are many, many people in the world today who were attracted and who remained faithful to derech haTorah because of his personality and because of his derech halimud. We have the zchut now of listening to a shiur from Harav Chaim Bravender.
Thank you, Rabbi Bat. You know, the people are always saying that, Rabbi Bat. But the truth is that they call it Bravender's because he gave them money. I was asked to speak in English, and I'm going to do so. The problem of shichicha, the problem of forgetfulness or forgetting the Torah, what exactly the problem is itself a matter for discussion. But the problem of shichicha itself is rooted in a pasuk in the Torah. Raki shomer lecha shmor nafshecha ma'od, pen tishkaches advor mesharo einecha, upen yasu mivovcha kol yimei chayecha, vodatam livonecha velivnei vonecha. Pasuk in Voschana. This pasuk, which refers to forgetting es hadvorim asher ra'u einecha, which obviously is referring to Matan Torah, is nevertheless taken by Chazal in a much wider context. The Mishnah in Avos is well known. Rabbi Meir omer kol ha-shochech dover echad mi mishnosoi ma'ale alav ha-kosuv ki'ilu mechayev b'nafsha. And while this statement has to be understood, why Chazal thought that shikicha was such a significant problem, nevertheless, it's clear that Chazal understood the pasuk as referring to shikicha in a general sense, forgetting whatever we had learned. Also, the Gemara Menachos, Omer Shloki Kol Shechech Dovo Echo Mitalmudo Ove Balav Shenema Yishomer Lecho Shmor Nafshecho Ma'od Pen Tishkach. And it's Machlokes, how many lavim you're over? The Gemara Menachos Daf Tzadi Tes Omer Beis. But the fact remains that it would seem that forgetting whatever we have learned, forgetting the Torah that we have received, is in some way an Isser, something that we have to avoid. With your permission, I would like to move through history, several thousands of years, to a book called the Keser Rosh, which is printed in every edition of the Siddur Agro, and was compiled by one of the great Talmidim of Volozhin, Rav Osher HaKohen, who was the Arbezdin of Shershov. The Keser Rosh itself was published about 1820. And he himself writes, B'dvorim ha'elo kasharti kesher l'roshi l'man yu ha'dvorim ha'elo me'irim l'neged einai l'zikron tamid. Ma sheshamati mipi admor hagon. And he's speaking of the Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, Rav Chaim of Volozhin. And this is a compilation of sayings, aphorisms, directives that Rav Chaim gave while Rav Osher HaKohen was a Talmid in the Yeshiva. And in the Keser Rosh, there is a section devoted to Talmud Torah in which the Rav Chaim Volozhin says many things that have become significant to the learners of Torah in our age as well. However, he makes a remark, at least it's quoted in his name in the Keser Rosh, B'inyan HaShikicha. He mentions about forgetting. And he says, B'inyan HaShokhech Dover Echod Mi Mishnoso Zekaya l'rishonim shelomdu ba'al peh. That's the nusach in the Keser Rosh. That the problem of shichicha was a problem for the rishonim, he means the early ones. I imagine this is what he means. He means the people who learned Torah before the Torah was written down, the Torah Shebaal Peh was written down, before there were official versions of Torah Shebaal Peh. And he says, in a statement which is quite definitive, now I'm not sure what the context was in which this statement was made or why he said it, but we know that even though yeshivas, certainly the yeshiva of Volozhin, which started out in the tradition of the Gra and Kol HaTorah Kula was the curriculum of Torah study for the Gra, but somehow even in Volozhin in the early days, apparently this was not adhered to. I mean, people did not feel themselves obligated to learn all of the Torah. And if we can impose our own notions of what Limud Be'iyun are on what was going on in those days in the yeshiva, there must have been in Volozhin even then a few students who, like myself, I mean, I suppose 98% of them remembered everything they had ever learned, but there might have been 2% who were more similar to me and had difficulty in actually remembering everything that we'd ever learned and rushing our way through Kol HaTorah Kula so that we could spend the rest of our lives just remembering everything that we'd learned. And maybe there was some sort of a crisis. I mean, after all, we all know that the Gra said about the Gra that he would review Shas, you know, each month. This is the Eidus of the Baal Peyasa Shulchan in the Hakdama. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner was passing down the Torah of the Gra. So I imagine that in the yeshiva there may have been some Talmidim who were a little nervous about this and about their inability to match up to that level of learning. And not only were they not doing that, but they were not always remembering everything they had learned in all the shiurim that they had attended. So it was actually somehow psychologically, I guess, very nice that the Rav Chaim Volozhiner sort of like waved his hand and did away with the problem of shichacha. I mean, I guess he was talking to people who were sitting and learning in the yeshiva, but he turned the whole world into a world which is more familiar to us, a world in which, you know, if you forgot it, it's not so terrible because maybe somebody else remembers it. But it's not so easy to understand what it is that Rav Chaim Volozhiner actually meant to say. How is it possible that Rav Chaim Volozhiner would create a principle related to a topic that is mentioned by Chazal? I mean, Chazal say that you cannot forget. I mean, how is it that Rav Chaim Volozhiner could come along and say that this is not a serious problem? In the Hilchos Talmud Torah of the Baal HaTanya, a great work as you all know, Baal HaTanya was not exactly of the same tradition of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, but I think that when they talked about Talmud Torah, they probably had a lot in common. Although this is not exactly the time for such an analysis. In the Hilchos Talmud Torah, if you look at Perek Beis Halacha Gimel Hilchos Talmud Torah of the Baal HaTanya, you'll see that the Baal HaTanya makes reference to this position of Rav Chaim Volozhiner explicitly. I mean, he doesn't quote him, of course, but he makes reference to the position, and he says, "Lachein gam achshav." So So the, even though the Balatanya talks about the mitzvah of shinantem, and shinantem may not be exactly the same as the isser, the lava of shikicha, nevertheless he refers to the fact that in this halacha, that the fact that the Torah is now written down doesn't change anything. And that whatever existed, whatever obligations I had before the Torah was written down, are the same. But in the next halacha, he says all of this quite clearly. I only quoted this halacha because he seems to refer to Rav Chaim, Rav Chaim's words themselves. In halacha Dalid, he says, "Kol ha-shocheach dover echad mi-mishnoso, machma shelo chozer alimudo kiraui ma'aleo lo vakosov kilo mischai benavsho." Vigam over belav shel tera shenemar raki shomer lechoshbo nafshecho meod pentish kaches advarim etc. Means he quotes the pasuk in the Torah and he quotes the Pirkei Avos and he quotes the Gemara in Menachos. Vekiblu chachomim, he goes on to say shein akosu medaber ba'aseres hadibros levadon elohu adin lechol ha'tera kulo. That even though the pasuk seems to be talking about remembering what you saw at the time of Matan Torah, he says, no, this is not the case. We have a clear tradition from Chazal that this pasuk is talking about forgetting the Torah. And then he makes several more comments, and he ends up by saying, V'ol she mitzvah ha'tera lo tishtane b'shinui ha'doros v'lo yachli v'lo yomir doso la'olomo. Now we know that, I mean, this is the battle cry of traditional Jewry, that there's a certain amount of constancy to Torah. And this is not a minhag. This is not something that just came along in some accidental manner. This is the way Chazal understand a pasuk in the Torah. And this understanding of the pasuk in the Torah is cross-referenced in several places. It's forbidden to forget the Torah. It's forbidden to forget what you have learned. And furthermore, the Baal HaTanya said, and this is the authentic interpretation, and therefore, how could anyone imagine that writing the Torah down or having codexes filled with all kinds of material, or having modern kinds of halachic works which are heavily indexed, which enable us to look up things as though we remember them, who would imagine that that would make any difference for what the Torah, for what Chazal have taught us? The Baal HaTanya continues, he makes one more point that I would like to mention. Val yomar ha-shocheach davar echad ilu lo lamadeti davar ze lo nischayavti benafshi v'lo meschayiv shelamadeti v'shachachti v'imes ilu lo lomad davar ze lo malo alo v'koso bilvad ilu mischayiv benafsho elo haya mischayiv benafsho mamash shekol mi she'efshar lo laharbos ulahosi v'limudo b'nyan shelo yishkach bo ze ma shelomad kvar מפני שכבר חוזר לימודו כראוי, ואינו מוסיף, אף על פי שאינו מספט על מטל ותורה, חוזר תמיד על הראשונות, שלא מפני ששכיחו, אלא מפני שנוח וקל לו יותר לחזור לראשונות מלטרוח בלימוד חדש, הרי זה מסחייב בנפשו ממש. It was the Baal HaTanya say, you can't trick the halacha. You can't do something which is a little bit tricky. Like you could say, imagine you have an obligation to learn Torah, and you have an obligation not to forget the Torah you learn. So Baal HaTanya says, knowing his community, knowing the people he's dealing with, I mean, being Jewish for 3,000 years, you develop certain characteristics. So he says, and if you would imagine that you could say, I'll just learn a little incy beansy bit of Torah, and I'll just review that little bit of Torah all the time. So there I am. I'm learning Torah and I'm not forgetting the Torah that I have learned. No good. No good. You've got to keep trying to learn as much Torah as you can and reviewing as much Torah as you can and not forgetting any of the much Torah that you have learned. And so, again, in a well-worked-out statement, The position of the Balatanya is, the position of the Balatanya is that Shichicha is alive and well. It is prohibited to imagine that we have no obligation either to learn more and more Torah, nor that we have no obligation to try to avoid forgetting the Torah that we have learned. And that brings us back, to the Keser Rosh. Now, it's hard to know, I said the Keser Rosh is a collection of statements that was made by Rav Chaim Volozhiner at one time or another and written down by one of his faithful Talmidim, who was a great Gaon, but who may have been a little bit enthusiastic in writing things down. However, it's also well known that the Griz, Rav Elbele, took this statement seriously and took the trouble to try to understand the position of Rav Chaim Volozhiner in the context of the criticism of the Balatanya, although he doesn't put it quite in that way. The Griz is found in a Griz al Atera in the Parsha of Eschanan. It's in the book that you can't buy in the stores. There are always books like that. There are books that you can buy in the stores, and there are books that you cannot buy in the stores. This book you cannot yet buy in the stores, but someone told me that they're thinking of a publisher. I think Rav Rafael Soloveitchik sells it. The Griz said that perhaps we can make some kind of a distinction. I'm sure you've heard such things before, in which the Pen Tishkach part of the Pasuk applies to Torah Shebichsav, and the Pen Yasur Milvofa part of the Pasuk is about Torah Shebaal Peh. I only quote this, and then it would turn out that the Pen Yasur part of the Pasuk is about Shmiras HaMasuras and is about Teresh Baal Peh. And therefore, there's no kasha. In other words, Rav Chaim of Elozhin is not entirely usurped the intent of the Pasuk, and you still have to remember what you learned, but now that we have a fixed tradition, the remembering is kind of, that part of the remembering is a little bit alleviated. I'm not quoting the statement of Rav Velvele to agree or disagree. I'm certainly it's not my prerogative to agree or disagree. But what I'm quoting it, the reason I'm quoting this statement of Rav Velvele is to indicate that he took the statement of Rav Chaim Volozhiner as quoted in the Keser Rosh quite seriously. And we still don't understand. Because even according to the formulation that Rav Elbele makes, there is some compromise with what's written in the Gemara. And the Gemara was after the fixing of the Masorah, at least to a certain extent. And in the Gemara it says, in that Gemara Menachos, that either you're over 3 lavim or you're over 2 lavim, if you forget. But all of the lavim are actually used. So it's hard for me to understand what the intention of Rav Velvele was. If you look at that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, Kol ha-shochech davar echad mi-mishnoso ma'aleh olav ha-kosov ki'ilu mechayev b'nafsho. This Mishnah in Pirkei Avos was explained by various Rishonim. I'd just like to remind you of one or two explanations. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Al asher nosam bilavovo lomar ki ashikcha mitzua bivnei odom v'yolo lachzor halocha harbei po'amim v'lachshov bo kol hayom v'kol halayla ad shelo tuchal osu milibo. Well, also, okay. Harezeh mischayev b'nafshei ki bo lahoros al pi hazkaraso v'isur v'oser hamuter v'yoter ha'osur v'nimtzei stakola bol al yodoy v'nikropo sheya v'pnei sheshigias talmud ole zodo. So that Rabbeinu Yonah says that the problem of shichicha is not only that you forget the Torah, but that it has very serious implications. A person who does not review the Torah constantly, and a person who is not involved with the review of halacha, someone will come and ask him a question, and he will inadvertently paskin incorrectly. And so Rabbeinu Yonah said that the forgetting of the Torah is a practical problem. It's a problem of psak. And if you have to be involved in psak, and everybody who learns Torah might be involved in psak, so you have to constantly review the Torah that you've learned in order that you don't make any serious mistakes. But the Smag in Lavin Yud Gimel says, Shekola Porish Min HaTorah Afilu Zokein Muflag Over Balav V'chein HaMedaber Dvorim B'Teilim Over Mishum Pen Tishkach Adkan. The Smag seems to say that the problem of Shichicha is not a problem of the implications of Shichicha, but the existential problem. I mean, if a person leaves the Torah or disassociates himself from the Torah, so that's a problem that obviously is being addressed by the Torah, and he's over the law of Shikicha. So there's a difference between the Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that the problem of Shikicha is connected to the psak that I'm going to have to give. Whereas according to the Re'eim, according to the Smag, there's an existential problem in Shikicha. And it may be that this distinction is what Rav Chaim Volozhiner was talking about. That while when you have everything written down and you know it Baal Peh, perhaps the problem of remembering the psak is not so great. I mean, you could always go and look it up, whereas the problem of my existential reality is nevertheless called into question. However, this doesn't explain. All of the Achronim dealt with this question, but because the time is short, I'd like to move on. We've seen that the problem of Shichicha, which was created by Rav Chaim Volozhiner in the Keser HaRosh, and then reinforced by the words of Rav Elveleh, remains a kind of an enigma. I mean, what was it that prompted Rav Chaim Volozhiner to tell us that we don't have to worry about Shichicha so much? I mean, what was the context of this statement? I mean, could we rediscover somehow what it was that he was talking about? So I would suggest that we move from the area of halacha, in which this discussion is quite difficult, to the area of Agoda. And I think that we will be surprised at what we find. If we look at the Medrash in Kehelas Rabbah, the Medrash says, L'tam sheyilmad adam Torah b'cheshek tamid, gazra chachmaso yisborach sheyeh adam lomeid v'shecheach. Interesting, when we move from the world of the halachic concern for the lavim of Shikicha, and how do I get about doing it, and what my precise obligations are, I find that in the world of the Agoda, at least in this statement that I've just read from Kehelas Rabbah, there is a kind of equanimity about Shikicha. I mean, we're not so concerned about it, quite the contrary. If I would say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make us so that Shikicha would be part of our ongoing existence? So the Medrash says, it's good for Torah learning. Imagine, if you would learn Torah and never forget anything, well then how much Torah would you have to learn? How much cheshek would you be able to develop? I mean, the Medrash sees, and there are a few other sources in the Medrash sees Shikicha not as being an onerous burden that we have to develop some methodology educationally to overcome. We don't have to see ourselves walking around constantly with little index cards or these. Remember, you know, when we used to learn, we used to try to learn a language, and you figured you would do it bisman shelo yom velo lailo, or you would learn the language and you know, not break stride. You'd still be able to do everything else you were doing. You sit there, eat your sandwich, and turn over these little cards, and that's how you'd learn Greek, if you'd learn Greek. So, I mean, is that, you know, like that kind of problem, according to the Medrash, doesn't even exist, because the Medrash says, oh, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is that there's shikicho, because then imagine that if we had a, went to, you know, if you went to the best shir in the world, and I imagine that there is a best shir in the world, and if you heard the best shir in the world, like at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the people in the Midbar, where they went to the best shir in the world, I imagine. I don't know who gave the lowest shir. I mean, but they went to the best shir in the world, so they heard the shir from Moshe Rabbeinu. So can you imagine that they never forgot anything? So they would never have the geschmack of making a mistake, of going back to Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, did you mean this, or did you say that? Or Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to ask you a shaila. Can you imagine everybody sitting there just drinking it up, and they would all remember it perfectly? Oy, I mean, what would Moshe Rabbeinu do? And what kind of setup would it be? So the Medrash says, shikicha, this is a wonderful thing. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam enabled us, gave us, which enables us to learn Torah with greater joy, with greater pleasure, to make every review of the 101 times that you review every piece of Gemara that you learn of special importance, special concern. I don't mean that you have to stop at 101, but that's a different matter. The Medrash says in several places that shikicha has positive aspects and develops good midos. It keeps me involved in Torah learning. It creates a situation whereby it's never boring. It's never uninteresting. I never think that I've got it exactly right. This positive attitude to shikicha appears elsewhere. And I would like to mention two sources that talk about shikicha that come from diverse worlds, more modern sources, but significant for our understanding. The first is Rav Nachman of Bratslav. In the Likutei Maharan, Kuf Yud, 110, explaining the pasuk Lo Yomu Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha, he says as follows: the Torah, as you know, is spiritual, as opposed to being gashmi, as opposed to being stuff. Seichel, as you also know, I mean, if you just think back to Greek philosophy, your seichel is spiritual. I mean, Rav Nachman didn't like Greek philosophy, as you know, or any kind of philosophy, actually. But that didn't mean that he didn't recognize that it had accomplished a thing or two in the, you know, in the 5,000 years of the existence of the world. And he says, obviously, the Torah is spirit, is a spirit. Your mind is a spirit. So there's no problem of room. Everything can fit in. Everything in the Torah can fit into everybody's head. But if somebody would take Torah and make out of it mamashut, if you could turn the Torah from spirit into stuff, right? If you could turn it into books, let's say, then you have a problem, because it has a limit, and it can't all fit in anymore. Once it becomes migusham, it can't fit in anymore. And therefore, if you want to learn more, if you want to learn more and more Torah, what you're going to have to find yourself doing is pushing out some of the Torah that you've already learned. And this is like everything that's gashmi. I mean, if you have a room and you start filling it up with furniture, you know, as some people do, sooner or later, you're going to buy some furniture that's going to make you take something out of the room, right? There's nothing else you could do. You're just not going to be able to push in any more Torah. He says, and that is shikicha. That's what shikicha is. Shikicha is the enabler to keep on learning Torah, because everybody, according to Rav Nachman, has some limit. And if we didn't have shikicha, then what we would do is just fill ourselves up with as much Torah as we can learn, because Torah today is not, Torah in the world, Olam Hazeh, is not exactly the Torah that was Bashamayim. And therefore, if we fill ourselves with more and more Torah, sooner or later, we're just going to be finished. We're not going to be able to learn any more Torah. And since we're not going to be able to learn any more Torah, so that would be one way of ending the world. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, shikicha is this wonderful thing. It allows you to push things out and put new things in. And pushing old things out and pushing new things in, I think, is a positive statement. Furthermore, Rav Nachman expands upon this idea in the Sichos Aran, the paragraph that's numbered Kovot 26. And he says, you know, in the world, people think that forgetting is a terrible thing. But for me, forgetting is the most wonderful thing I can imagine. Because if we were not able to forget, we would not be able to accomplish anything in the service of Hashem. If a person would remember everything that he had ever done, every aveira that he had ever committed, every mitzvah that he had not attained, every act in which he compromised himself, so Rav Nachman says, how would he ever be able to lift himself up in the service of Hashem? Rav Nachman in the Sichos expands the notion of shikicha from the notion which enables me to learn Torah, and to learn Torah, as it says in Kohelet Rabbah, with great energy. But he says furthermore that shikicha enables me to serve God, because in another language, it enables me to dissociate myself from myself. It enables me to make the claim, standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or standing before a mitzvah, or standing before a chesed, that I am not me exactly. I am not who I was. I am somebody else. And in a different language, the Rav in Ish HaHaloche, basing himself on Henri Bergson, who, as you know, was a very popular philosopher when he was alive, and apparently less popular since his demise. But Bergson had an idea which I think that the Rav brilliantly, again, this is, I'm not evaluating, I'm just using matbeya. When I say brilliantly, I mean, when I think that it's significant. Bergson had this idea, I'll try to explain the idea very briefly. He talked about time, and he said that there are two kinds of time that we really are involved with. There's kind of static time, which is, I guess if you took a roll of video film, and you know there are pictures on the roll of video film, and you can look at each one individually, that's a kind of a static time. So in the past, if I look back on what happened in my own life or in history, I can look upon my history as being a sequence of events on an infinite line. Like they used to say, I remember when I was once a student of mathematics, and I found it very interesting that when I first got going, some teacher took a piece of chalk and scorched the blackboard and said to everybody, well, how many dots is that piece of chalk, that line on the board, made up of? And it was really wonderful to imagine that there was an infinite number of them. So we can think of our lives as being an infinite number of disparate events which remain kind of embedded in that videotape. Videotape not moving, not going anywhere. And therefore, what happened to me or what I did in the past, well, it's just fixed like those faces in Mount Rushmore, and it never changes. Or we can look at time as something else, as the flow of events in time as something else. Almost like, you know, waves. If you think of waves and water, about how the water seems to collect and produce waves, and that the earlier, like the billowing water that you can't even see moving way back, far away, is having an effect on what you're doing now. And that since what you did before was in turn affected by what you did before that, and the later kind of almost affects the former and changes it, because what you did implies what you will do if the world is static. But the world is not static, then you can have an opportunity for tshuva, and you can have opportunities for avodas Hashem. And this is the idea that the Rav develops in the Isha Halacha, beginning about page 95, and the specific reference to Bergson and his theories is here in the Isha Halacha on page 99. So that this is also a form of shikicha. It's not the shikicha that Rav Nachman was talking about, perhaps, that I forget, and because I forget I can be an Oved Es Hashem, but it is shikicha nonetheless. It was shikicha that enables me constantly to reassess what I've done in the past. As the Gemara says, I can change the zedonos. I can change what I did in the past. I mean, the Gemara says it. And the Gemara is not treating the matter of tshuva and its effect on us lightly, certainly not. The Gemara simply does not give us the mechanism for understanding. And the mechanism for understanding, the Rav said, I believe, is that in time, things change forwards and backwards. And this is connected to the notion of shikicha, because there's a real shikicha, not a shikicha of forgetting what I did yesterday, but a necessary shikicha, a mandated shikicha, a shikicha without which we could not continue to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could not continue to do mitzvahs, we could not continue to face ourselves, and yes, ultimately, we could not even learn Torah, because learning Torah is also about the Chiddush in the Torah. It's also about saying it different, or saying it better, or saying it in a way which is more significant to me. When I learn, if I learn, if anybody learns, we all have had the experience of learning a masichta that we once learned. What we never do is the same thing. And oy vavoy, if anyone did find himself in that situation. Learning another masechta is learning a new masechta. It's always that way. It's the old masechta and it's the new masechta and it's the old ideas with the new ideas, and it's the shikicha which becomes not only the mandatory principle of Talmud Torah, the enabler of Talmud Torah, as the Medrash in Kohelet says, but it's the shikicha which actually produces the act of Talmud Torah, which is akin to the act of tshuva as the Rav explained it. And so I think that the intuition that Rav Nachman of Bratslav had, which was that Avodas Hashem could not exist without shikicha. Is perhaps the reason that Rav Chaim Volozhiner insisted, not that shikicha, not the shikicha that existed before things were written down, but actually the continuation of what Rav Chaim Volozhiner may have said was, yes, there is an issur of shikicha, but it means something else. It means what Rav Nachman taught us. It means what the Rav taught us. And finally, I would say that the pshat of the drash, not even the pshat, the zero reading of the psukim in the Torah, and the pshat of Chazal, where the zero reading of the psukim in the Torah indicate, as the Baal HaTanya said, that the psukim are talking about matan Torah, and the pshat of Chazal say it's talking about the iser of shikicha. Well, I mean, how are we to remember matan Torah? I mean, what is it that we are supposed to be remembering when we come to Shavuos? I mean, could it be that there is the movie that some of us may have seen that we should call to mind? I mean, what is it that the Pasuk could possibly be talking about except Talmud Torah? Except the Talmud Torah that took place at Har Sinai. And certainly the Talmud Torah that took place at Har Sinai was all new. It was all, I mean, even if they knew some of the Torah, some of the mitzvahs, but the event, the excitement of Moshe Rabbeinu standing between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael and teaching Torah, I mean, it was all new. I mean, was there ever a Talmud Torah event that took place from where the issue of Shichicha was brought out as clearly as that Talmud Torah, where there was nothing, everything was new, everything was exciting, everything was different? And that's the Pshat of Chazal. The Pshat of Chazal is, If you want to remember the Matan Torah on Har Sinai, if you want to do that again, if you want to be there at Har Sinai once again on Vav Sivan, remember Shikicha. Shikicha means you have to keep the Torah, but Shikicha also means you're enabled to stand once again at Har Sinai and be Mibein Mekablei HaTorah.